Could America ever elect a president who didn't believe in God? We've got some interesting poll results.
Also, we'll reveal which professions are considered most trustworthy. You might be surprised.
Plus, some misconceptions about sleep and the craziest excuses people use for being late to work.
I'm Bob Bates, along with Susan Sikora, and this is Older and Wiser. Interesting article here from Hemet Mehta. The headline is, new survey shows that atheism is still the top political liability. Well, I guess this is kind of common knowledge. I mean, is it possible to elect a president who is an atheist, Susan? I don't think so.
Well, you know, it apparently it's not yet. No. And I think it should be, frankly.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do. You know, and I'll tell you why. People think that if somebody's an atheist and doesn't believe in God, or, you know, isn't sure that God exists, or believes that there is no God, I guess I'm probably mixing these terms up between atheist and
No, I think if you don't believe in God, you're an atheist.
Okay. All right. So let's assume if you don't believe in God, you're an atheist, that you have no moral compass, which also, I think, assumes the opposite, which is that if you do believe in God, then you're making all the right decisions, or at least you're trying to, and you've got a moral compass that is right on track, at least with the voter.
Voters believe that if you believe in God, you've got to be a good person.
Right.
And we want a good person to be the president.
That's always the case.
Yeah, that's right. 51% of adults said they would be less likely to vote for someone if they thought that candidate was an atheist. Honestly, I kind of thought it would be more than that, 51%. And it is the lowest number in years. Mm-hmm. Even as high as it is, it's still the lowest number in years.
Because probably people are seeing that there are folks out there, candidates certainly, who seem to have the public good at heart, mm-hmm. Hopefully, if you can trust them, and they're not that religious. Bernie Sanders is the one that comes to mind because he said he's not actively involved in organized religion, which probably means, yes, I'm Jewish, I may or may not believe whatever it is, and guess what, I'm not going to go into it, but he's probably not worshiping his synagogue every week.
What's interesting is, according to the survey, even though Donald Trump has said all along he's a Christian and he's involved in religion, 60% of the voter survey said they didn't think of Trump as religious. Not surprising.
No, well, first of all, he's been married a gazillion times. What is it? He's on his fourth marriage or something. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong
not
with
that there's...
him. To paraphrase.
Yeah. This survey also indicates a number of other interesting things. Some traits that are assets for you when you are running for president. 50% of those surveyed indicate that they'd be more likely to vote for you if you have served in the military.
Hmm.
If you 20% said they'd be more likely to vote for you if you attended a prestigious university.
Mm-hmm.
Although we're finding now nobody seems to care about education much.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, it used to be that if you had been to one of the Ivy League schools, even mostly in the Northeast, you know, your Harvard and Yale and Princeton and all that, then those were the people from where your candidates often came.
Right.
And I think there's still a pretty high concentration of that factor there.
Well, we know that the liability list is long. And, of course, we just said that 51% of people wouldn't vote for you if you didn't believe in God. But there are a few more. And here they are.
Okay.
31% won't vote for you if you've had a long-term Washington experience, which just seems counterintuitive. But I think what we've found in America today is that Americans are tired of politicians.
It's
politicians.
The beltway thing.
They
is
want
just
something new.
Not working. I think that has been a difficulty for candidates on both sides. I think you see that some people credit that to Hillary saying, well, she's part of the Washington inside. And then the same is true on the Republican side, except for Donald Trump, which is probably why he has still stayed high in the polls. He's not a Washington insider. And that seems to be the trend that everybody on both sides of the aisle is tired of.
20% say they wouldn't vote for you if you've used marijuana in the past.
I don't even get that. I mean, I don't use marijuana. I would be too cheap to buy it to start with.
23% say no if you're a Mormon. 26% say no if you're gay or lesbian. 41% say no if you've had personal financial troubles. I kind of get that one, because if you've had personal financial troubles, you're probably not someone who should be running our national budget.
No. Although, you know, again, remember, it goes back to this whole thing. I used to talk about this all the time. You know, the president is not the king or the queen.
Yes.
Maybe in this
situation. He's not totally in control. Right.
It's the president. Okay. And so whoever is the next president, just like the president who is in the office now, President Obama, and the ones before, has to work with Congress.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, it's a group decision in many cases here. It's got to go. You know, it's got to pass muster on two sides here. And I don't know.
How about this one? 37% say they wouldn't vote for a president if he had had an extramarital affair in the past.
Well, I don't know. I guess
we had Bill Clinton in office, and
that's right. But you know, again, I mean, but he seems to be more popular than ever now.
Yeah, this one's not surprising. 42% say no if you're a Muslim.
Well,
I think that's going to change as time goes by, but right now we're in a very delicate, sensitive
out there, and that phobia has been fed.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot, as we've seen by Donald Trump's scare tactics, that much of America is agreeing with him when it comes to his fear of Muslims, regardless of whether or not, you know, they have any affiliation with terrorists. He just is ready to
leave them outside. And I do feel sorry for people who are practicing Muslims, who are, you know, practicing their faith to the best of their ability in the way they believe it should be practiced, and have absolutely not only no connections to terrorism, but find that as despicable as most of us do.
Absolutely.
Or as all of us do. So it's that's hard. It's hard to paint everybody with the same brush. It's unfair. And unfortunately, I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon.
I agree with you. All right, moving on. Survey reveals most and least trusted professions. Now, this one's from a new survey from Ipsos Mori. Not familiar with that particular agency, but they've done the survey that tells us who we trust and who we don't trust. Mm-hmm. Guess who we trust the most?
Yeah, I'm looking at this. And I think they got this one backwards. It says, 69% of people trust their hairdresser to tell them the truth.
Well, what about you? Do you trust your hairdresser to tell you the truth?
First of all, I haven't been going to a hairdresser that often, because a post-cancer drug has taken a whack out of let's say, the volume of my hair. But I'm alive and doing well, so I guess it's a small price to pay.
But do hairdressers want to tell you look beautiful even when you don't?
Here's what I think they got mixed up here.
Yeah.
I think that most people trust their hairdresser so that the people can tell the hairdresser their truth. It's sort of like if you're not Catholic, or you're Catholic and you don't go to confession,
or
you're not Catholic and you can't go to confession, who else can I go to?
I see what you're saying. So your hairdresser is someone you confess to, so therefore you trust them with your secrets.
I think it's real easy to get chatty under that, you know, that rubber apron.
Under the rubber apron.
Yeah.
I think that's probably absolutely right. They say that the most trusted profession is doctor.
Yeah, and
I guess that's
probably
true.
Part of that is you darn well better trust him or her, because
you're forced to.
The life is in your hands.
86% trust teachers. I trust teachers.
Yeah, I think
if you're going to be a teacher, You deserve our trust, I think.
Yeah, you ain't in it for the money.
No. Judges, 80% of people trust judges. Mm-hmm. 79% trust scientists, except, I guess, some of those who are talking about global warming.
I suppose.
I don't know why you would doubt that.
Yeah, I don't know why you would doubt scientists either, because if you know anybody who's a scientist, pretty much they're a lot of them, and I'm not talking about their personality necessarily, but they pretty much do look at the facts.
Yeah.
And if you have a conversation with them and you start saying, well, I don't know, I think maybe, and it's not I think maybe, it's yes or no.
Yeah. I mean, their goal is truth, right? That's what they're there for. Truth.
Yes, exactly.
They're trying to find out the answers to things, the true answer to things. So,
right. So they would be trustworthy.
Yeah. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, our least trusted professions, government leaders, 22%.
That's not surprising.
No,
I mean, I think that goes back to what we said before about even the political race we're watching now.
Yeah. journalists. I was surprised to hear that 25% of people believe that journalists.
Well,
don't
yeah.
you find that odd? I mean,
you know, I don't know. I mean, when they say journalists, do they mean print? Do they mean broadcast? Do they mean there's so many now.
I've never known a journalist who intentionally lied or tried to tell something that wasn't true.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Certainly there have been mistakes made. Certainly people have gone on air with stories that weren't fully vetted and stuff. But in terms of just not to be trusted, why would you not I think it's a cynicism that we have in America.
Well, people have gotten caught plagiarizing others. There was
right.
a case, more than a couple of years ago. I think I forget the woman's name, but at any rate, she had lifted something out and put it in as her own writing, her own reporting.
Yeah.
And I think now you're really stupid to do that, more stupid than ever, because there's too many people that can check you out, again, because of the internet and the access to information that people have.
Yep.
It's just, though, a question of how much, do people just read something and believe it because they see it on a screen somewhere, whether it's on a, you know, on a phone in their hand or a bigger screen or someplace else, or they hear it on TV, or do they just, or do they say, well, let me check that out. I don't believe that. And most of us don't have time to do all that research.
We don't. We have to count on someone else to tell us the truth.
Right.
And if we don't trust our journalists, I'm not sure who we're going to be trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate agents. Nobody trusts a real estate agent. I agree with them on that because you always think you're getting ripped off. And plumbers.
Yeah.
What about plumbers? That should be on there somewhere.
Plumbers.
I don't
yeah,
trust
well,
a plumber.
Yeah. Plumbers are, you know, again, you're sort of
contractors
at that point. When something's spilling over or leaking.
Exactly.
You've got to trust them.
Well, you trust them to get it fixed, but do you trust them to charge you an appropriate amount? That's
no,
the thing.
Because if you've paid one bill, you've seen,
I know.
You've seen a lot of difficulties.
I never know who to trust when it comes to contractors.
That's hard.
Plumbers, mm-hmm. you know, anybody who's kind of got you over a barrel. Anybody
yeah.
who's kind of, you're kind of stuck with because
yeah.
you're
if
in
the sink is leaking and the water's on the floor, you don't have time to say, let me get back to you in an hour. I want to talk to three other guys.
Exactly. Open. You're kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Here's a survey that was done recently. Americans are really, really angry, according to this survey, of 3,257 adults. Now, they went out and they asked people how they're feeling, and 49% of Americans say they feel angrier now about current events than they did a year ago.
Okay. And the question, of course, is which current events, but I could take a guess because
yeah.
I've got a little of that anger, and I bet you a lot of us share some of the same anger.
Yeah.
You hear things, for example, that the economy is better, and on paper, it is.
Yeah.
But is there more money in your pocket? No, in most cases. Now, I'm not talking about people who are super wealthy, okay? And yes, the gasoline prices are down, except for us in California, where they're still a lot higher than
right.
every place else.
Right.
But gasoline is not the only thing you need. You need to pay rent. You need to pay a mortgage, maybe. You need to pay for food.
So you think it's money that has people angry?
I think a lot of it is, because I think they know that it's, you know, the economy is maybe rigged. And I don't, you know, maybe I'm quoting Bernie Sanders here a little too much. But the truth is, I think people know that it's hard to get a fair shake. And, you know, if you do your best and everything will be fine. And if you work really hard, you'll get ahead. And that's mm-hmm. not just always the case.
What I don't understand from this survey is this breakdown. White people were the angriest.
Mm-hmm.
54% of them were outraged last year, compared with Latinos, who were 43% of them were angry, and 33% of African Americans.
Well, I got a theory on that, too.
What's the theory? What do you think?
I think there's more white people who have now found themselves closer to a poverty line, or they have dropped out of the middle class that they assumed they were not only in, but were going to stay in for the rest of their lives. And they're a little shocked, and they are very angry, because they don't see that they're going to get right out again as mm-hmm. maybe they did in the past. In other words, if somebody white had a white middle class had a great job and lost it, chances are getting another job was maybe better than somebody else who would not get that.
But why so, white people? Why are white people more angry? That's what I'm not totally
clear on. Because they're newly in this position.
Oh, I see. Are you saying Latinos and African Americans are more familiar with
the dilemma? I think they've had a harder time along the way.
Ah, I hear you. So there's anger, but you're feeling like it's led to resignation. And
well,
so
the it's anger, you know.
Only now are the white folks beginning to sort of get on board with the angry.
They didn't think this was going to happen to them, and it is.
Republicans, according to the survey, were angrier than Democrats. I think we've seen that, haven't we? And I think they grew angry over the course of the Obama administration, just because they dislike Barack Obama so intensely.
Sure.
64% of Republicans were more irked by current events than they were a year ago. Compared to 42% of Democrats.
Yeah, and by the way, going back to the Obama comment that you made, they were probably irked because he was reelected. He had two terms, not just one.
Yes. Oh, well, that really probably was the final straw for many Republicans, was that he was reelected.
I would also wonder, too, Bob, if some of these Republicans are not irked by current events because they've had control of Congress, and yet there's still not enough getting done.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, if we control Congress.
So you're saying the Republicans are as irked with themselves as they are with the Democrats.
I bet you.
Yeah. Well, there is a gridlock there within the Republican Party, and they all know it, and there must be a tremendous sense of frustration.
Well, there's a tremendous sense of frustration in America in general, I think. And again, this goes back to the political process we're now witnessing toward the presidency, because people are saying, you know, they're there in Washington, all of them on both sides of the aisle. Yeah. We send them there. They work for us. People forget this. They work for us and they're not getting the job done. They're more concerned with, are they going to be in the next term?
All right. A new survey reveals the truths and untruths about sleep. Now, I think we all have some preconceived ideas of what works for us in our sleep pattern and what doesn't. And it turns out that we're wrong oftentimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, for example, let's look at some examples here. 12% of people believe the theory that eating cheese before bed gives you nightmares. Did you ever hear that one? I have never heard that.
Jeez, really?
So I don't have any problem disbelieving it because I've never heard it. But the truth is, there are some cheeses that actually do give you nightmares. Stilton cheese. Have you ever had Stilton cheese? I don't even know what that is.
I have, but it's kind of a what is it? I don't know.
Is it a soft cheese or what kind?
It's kind of a medium, I think. Oh. Well, you shouldn't be asking me anything culinary questions whatsoever. You know my cooking skills are zilch. I've had Stilton for, I think they serve it with maybe apples or pears or something, or pineapple or walnuts, something like that, as a dessert or a you know, some kind of a little nosh.
Well, according to this, you shouldn't have it as a dessert because it's been proven to give people vivid nightmares.
Yeah.
What a crazy thing, man.
How did they do the research on that?
Well, I think that's actually like sleep. They must have done some studies on that.
That's one of the journalists I probably don't believe.
Oh, come on. You're a cynic. One in seven think that going to the gym in the evening helps you sleep. What do you think?
Well, I don't go to the gym in the evening, so I'm never going to find out. But if you go out and you take a walk, maybe. But maybe. I think if you go too late, you're kind of all revved up from the circulation and the moving around and the heart rhythm and all that. And maybe you should do this earlier in the day.
Well, according to this, it's a myth, as the body will be overheated, meaning people would have trouble going to sleep. So it kind of works just the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You really shouldn't work out just before going to bed.
No, I wouldn't think so.
One in seven people believe you can catch up on sleep on the weekends.
That is a myth.
Yeah.
That's tried it in my past and it really doesn't work.
It doesn't work. No. You kind of have to, if you're going to be catching up on sleep, you kind of have to do it throughout the week, a little at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One in eight people believe watching TV helps you sleep. Well, what do you think? Depends on what you're watching. If you're watching,
That's right. I think that's a common what's on probably.
Yeah.
And I tend to have the TV on before I fall asleep, and then I fall asleep with it on.
Yeah.
And then of course, if I wake up, and then it's on, and if I see something that I kind of like, then I'm up again. So it's probably not a good thing to
do. Maybe a sleepy BBC documentary would be good. You know, kind of a nature video about birds.
Yes.
That would put me to sleep right away.
Yeah, that would do it.
1 in 10 people believe drinking alcohol will give you a better night's sleep. Well, certainly if you drink enough of it, you know, you're going to fall asleep, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, but doesn't it prevent the REM?
Yeah, that's the problem. Drinking alcohol will help you sleep, but it will prevent you from having a good night's good quality sleep at night.
Yeah.
60% of people believe caffeine keeps you awake.
Well, sure.
Does that do that for you? Does it keep you awake?
You know, I have to tell you, one night years ago, my husband and I were in this restaurant. It was in Trenton, New Jersey. And there was something, I can't remember, I think it was a coffee drink or something that had coffee beans floating in it.
No.
It was like an espresso or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
There's something about beans. Sometimes they'll actually have a bean in there that you can get a whole coffee bean.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's not good. Don't eat that.
I ordered one, and something made me think it would be a good idea to take the bean and actually chew it.
Yeah.
Which I did. I love coffee, but this was a little much. Okay. Yeah. But I didn't think anything of it. That was fine. I think I chewed one or two beans.
Yeah.
All of us. We went home. Everything was fine. Went to bed. All of a sudden, like 2 a.m, I'm like, what? I'm up.
You couldn't fall asleep, right?
Oh my God, I was up and I'm going, you know, get up quick. You know, let's talk. Oh my God, what did you do? You ate those stupid coffee beans.
Well, scientifically, you're right.
Yeah, don't chew the beans. No. Just brew them and do it early in the day.
Caffeine does indeed keep you awake, but it's different from person to person. For me, it doesn't have that much of an effect, but for some people, it really does. All right. So as we wrap things up today, we're doing it with a survey that says this year's most outrageous excuses for being late to work. Now, this item is out of Chicago. It's a new survey from the folks at Career Builder. And apparently what they do, they went and asked people, not the people themselves, but the human resources folks who have to get the excuses from the employees when they don't show up for work on time.
Yes.
And they kind of keep track of this stuff, I guess, in some companies.
And these are serious answers.
These are serious answers.
Okay.
And according to the survey, 1 in 4 workers, 25%, admitted that they come in late at least once a month. Mm-hmm. And 13% do it at least once a week, come in late. You know, if you work a 9-to-5, sometimes with traffic and all that, it's kind of hard to get to work on time.
Now, traffic is a common reason. And if something happens or if you run into an accident, you know, people can say, well, why did you leave earlier? Well, if you leave early enough, if it takes you 15 minutes to get someplace between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, let's say, and you leave at 7:30 on the dot every morning and it's fine, and all of a sudden there's an accident, you're going to be late.
Yeah.
And if you're in a place that's heavily traveled or something's going on or there's road work involved.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Some people just don't leave early enough though. They don't, you got to leave and allow time for that sort of thing to happen.
It's not creative, but it's
okay. It is the 53% of people say that that's their reason, bad traffic. 33% said they just overslept. 28% said there was bad weather. Bad weather?
Well,
bad weather made me late for work.
Well, I mean, look, on the East Coast right now, in the winter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hear you. Snow.
It starts to come down, and it's harder to drive in than you thought.
Couldn't
it was
get
going
to work
to be.
Because of all the snow. Oh, I got you.
Or on the West Coast, we get rain, and sometimes we get pelted, you know, days and days at a time, and we're not used to that.
15% said they just needed to get their kids to daycare or school, and everything was running late.
Well, kids can slow you down, sure.
Kids can slow you down. Okay, so there are some really bizarre answers on this list, and I know you've got the list there. I'll tell you, let me see. I'll pick one. You pick one. I'll pick one. Let's see.
All right.
I like this one. I was confused by the time change and unsure if it was spring forward or fall back.
Okay, well, probably they should have just said I was confused by the time change or I forgot to change my clock. When you say I'm unsure if it's spring forward or fall back, now you're saying you don't even know what month it is.
Right. Exactly. Is it spring or is it fall? I'm not really sure.
All right.
Which one do you
like? Well, I don't know. How about my lizard had to have emergency surgery in the morning and died during the surgery? I had to mourn while deciding whether to have the lizard disposed of by the vet or bring the lizard corpse with me to work. Now, see, this is too much information here.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I would believe that one.
This morning, that would be one thing. My lizard is pushing it. Now it's my lizard had to have surgery and died. Mm-hmm. And now I had to mourn and decide. And now I might have the lizard in my back pocket. This is nuts.
I will say that when it comes, that would totally convince me that he was telling the truth, though. Because if you say, gee, I hit some bad traffic, or one of those standard reasons, it could be, they could be faking it. But when you say your lizard had to have emergency surgery and died, I'm just saying that's a real excuse. Somebody couldn't have made that one up.
How often do you know? Do you know a lot of people who have lizards who have to have emergency surgery?
No, but I assume it was probably.
Do you know people who have lizards?
I don't know a single lizard owner, frankly. But I assume that there are lizard owners of those exotic lizards, you know, the big ones that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, probably very expensive. And if one got sick, you probably would take him to the vet and ask him, you know, the vet for some assistance. So maybe. It could have been a whole difficult morning for this guy in the vet's office with his lizard.
Some of these lizards, though, they kind of move slowly in their cages, don't they? And I would never have a lizard, but I'm thinking, how would you know if the lizard is tired and sluggish versus I'm just, you know, it's Tuesday.
Yeah. You'd think they'd just die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, here's one I liked. I had to chase my cows back into the field.
Well, that was do you live?
I'm late.
Are you on the farm,
I'm late. Had to chase the cows back into the field.
Well, maybe, you know, when we lived, when my husband and I lived in the Virgin Islands, we were in St. Thomas for 6 years, first 6 years of our marriage, and cows would cross the street and on some of the back roads.
Oh, yeah.
And they would be going, what are you going to do? Get out and say, hurry up, I've got to get to
right.
work. So, you know, that's it. That was plausible down there.
Yeah, I've been to St. Thomas. Yeah. It's like that, but on some of those curvy back roads, those farm roads, there's animals
Absolutely.
Just right out there on the road. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, how about this one? I thought of quitting today. But then decided not to, so I came in late.
I thought of quitting today. I was going to quit, and then I didn't. So I'm here to work a little late. Hope you don't mind.
Yeah, that'll get you a really good evaluation with the boss.
Yeah. That's a person who really doesn't care at that point.
Well, sure, you know.
Whether their excuse holds water or not, they just really don't. Mind,
yeah, if somebody comes in and says, I thought of quitting today, but then decide, you know, then the boss might say, well, let me make it easier for you for tomorrow.
I think my favorite of all, I had to finish watching My Name is Earl.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to pick a show, you got to pick a good one.
I guess so.
My Name is Earl.
Not my fave.
It turns out that most employers don't really mind whether or not people are late every so often. 33%, well, actually, that's not most. Most really do mind. But 33% say they don't really mind.
Yeah, well, you know, punctuality is important, for sure. And I tend to be one of these people that was chronically late, except for television, because it was live.
Oh, yeah, you had to be there on time.
I was 45 minutes late for my wedding, but that's because there were too many people trying to use one bathroom in a small house. End of story. However, I think if you're a little bit late, if you can wander in, let's say the big, you know, if you don't have a meeting before 11 o'clock or something's happening, I'm not saying it's a good idea, but if you come in a few minutes late, but you'll stay later, or you get the job done, or you're volunteering to do something extra, you're the one that somebody can count on as a boss.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I'd say, you know, I'd rather have a really good employee who's there when needed, as opposed to, or willing to do something extra, as opposed to somebody who's punctually there at 9 o'clock, because a lot of people are punctually out of there.
It's about getting the job done, right? Not about whether you're there right at 9 o'clock or not.
Yeah, I think
unless you're relieving somebody else who was on a shift before. It depends on the job. I guess it all depends on the job.
And if you're supposed to be there at 9, to saunter in at 9:45 or 9:30 or 9:50 every day, that gets to be annoying. Mm-hmm. And it's also unfair to other people, too.
It's also unfair to other people.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of those jobs that you have here on Older and Wiser where you can just sort of show up anytime and we'll talk. It's okay if you're late.
Okay,
I'll never mind.
I try to be on time on my side.
You're always on time. I'm the late one.
See? Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
You know? But you're not a half an hour late.
No, I'm not. Susan Sicara, thank you so much. It's been fun today. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Bob Bates. Always good to talk to you.
Let's do it again soon. And thank you, folks, for being with us today. Be sure and check us out at olderandwiser.com and make it a regular stop when you're out there web surfing. And you can see what your favorite Older and Wiser celebrities are tweeting every single day right there on olderandwiser.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.